I know what happens after you die. You're found. and it doesn't matter. All the cool shit, you know, like your awesome dad, you know, you took him to Disney World and did all this other cool stuff. Wrecked a jet ski. You almost got macheted in Jamaica. You know, all these cool things that you did, all that's gone now. You're just the guy that died jerking off trying to strangle himself.
Welcome to Because Nerd. This is our third episode. It's the 27th of March, 2018, as we record this. Happy belated St. Patrick's Day, and I'm your host, Chris Farrell, and I'm joined again by two of my best and oldest friends, Logan.
Hey.
And Clint.
Gay pasa.
All right, guys. I had a fun time since the last time that we spoke. I got to go down to Pensacola and go to Pensacon. That was a hell of a blast. I got to meet a ton of people. I talked to Eric Stolhansky, as well as Paul Soder. From Super Troopers.
Wow, cool.
I'll tell you a funny thing. Eric Stolhansky, a.k.a. Rabbit, from Super Troopers, actually has a wooden leg.
What?
Do you guys know that?
Really?
What? No.
That's real.
What the fuck? Are you serious?
No, that dude really got a wooden leg.
Sure it wasn't like CG or something?
You can go look this up, man. That dude legit has had a wooden leg his entire life.
Oh my God. So did you talk to him about it at the show?
No, I didn't know it at the time. I wish I would have known.
Okay. Well, I think that's unbelievable is because in today's day and age, who has a fucking wooden leg? Like, what? I mean, I could see if he has a fake leg, but it can't be wooden.
I bet it's really nice wood. Like, I'd see him showing up to Antiques Roadshow, and, you know, they're like, well, what you got for us, man? And he's like, bam, pops the leg on the table. What do you think of this?
Logan, I thought it was funny that you told your Ash versus Evil Dead story.
Right? I don't know how I was like, this looks like a porno.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. I'm like, let me skip ahead.
Dana DeLorenzo, who plays Kelly, was at the con. I ran into her at the bar, kind of got to sit around talking with her for a while.
With a cheesy permagrin on your face the whole time?
You know me well. So they had this quiz show. I particularly went to it because Bill Corbett from Mystery Science Theater was going to be one of the guests on the panel. Went and watched the show. Steve Agee was there in the crowd. He really loved my shirt that I designed. That just kind of blew me away.
Wait,
that's awesome.
The show was really funny. And then after that, I ran into Dana. Also, Seth Gilliam from Walking Dead. He's also from The Wire and a lot of other things. We all hung out too late, and then the bar wanted to close down. And then they were all kind of bummed. They were like, what do we want to do? We're not ready to go to bed. So I just kind of reached in my bag and pulled out a bottle of scotch. And I was like, does anyone like to drink scotch? And they were like, hell yeah, we do. And I drank scotch with Seth and Dana and OG.
It's a smooth move.
That's a pro tip right there.
I mean, that when you really think about it, that is pretty awesome. I mean, that's stuff that doesn't happen, right? Like, you'll go your whole life and you'll never see one of those people, let alone hang out with one of those people in an after-hours setting. And then to say you're hanging out with all of them at like 3 a.m, you know, that's pretty fucking cool, man.
Another fun one was talk to Mike Fielding. I don't know if you guys know him. If you've seen the show Mighty Boosh.
Oh, yeah. I'm old Greg. I haven't seen Mighty Boosh in probably 7 or 8 years, but I definitely have my favorite memories.
Badass show. And he's
Naboo?
Yeah, Michael Fielding played Naboo. So I hung out with him Saturday night. Similar story. I sat around drinking with him on Saturday. That dude is a blast. Like, he got crazy. He was kind of running around dancing, like telling jokes, being entertaining. And he was so casual and easygoing. It was just awesome. Just a couple more to note. I thought it was awesome talking to Damian Clark, the voice of Cell on Dragon Ball Z. At first, he seemed like he didn't want to talk, but I kept pressing him to talk. And then finally got him to at least kind of engage in a small conversation. It seemed like we were getting kind of chummy. Like, hey man, I'm really glad I'm talking to you. He's like, yeah, this is cool. I'm glad you're talking to me too, Chris. And I said something else, and then all of a sudden he was like, oh, you just changed it. Now you've ruined the whole thing. I was just like, Damian, dude, if our friendship can't stand a test like this, it's not worth anything.
Come on, it's Cell. He's all or nothing.
I went to his table the next day just to say hey to him again. And he was just like, hey, man. Hey, Chris, do you like any of this shit? And I was like, fuck yeah, dude. I was like, Dragon Ball Z. It was awesome. And so he just grabbed a picture of Cell and he signed Power Up, Bitch.
it- That's awesome, man.
I just picked up Dragon Ball FighterZ a week or two ago, and it's a lot of fun, but his voice is in it, and you can definitely tell it's him. The Vegeta, the Goku, and the Cell, and the Krillin are all the original actors, so I know he's at least had a chance to do a little bit of Cell stuff recently, at least voicing the game.
You know, I wanted to play that recently, too, but what was the thing I don't like about it is that, at least that I've seen in, like, the videos and the trailers, is, like, Capcom versus Marvel and a lot of those, like, those fighter games, there's just so much going on. There's, like, 8,000 combos happening, and there's, like, lights everywhere, and three dudes jump out at you. I mean, it's like the fight's over before you even know what move you did.
Clint, it just sounds like your power level is too low to handle a game like that.
Yeah, man, I'm not 9,000 or whatever.
Go power up, bitch.
Oh, damn.
Talking to Neil Ross was awesome. One of the voice actors from Transformers, as well as numerous other shows that I loved as a child.
That is awesome. Who was he in G.I. Joe, right? He was Shipwreck.
Yes, he was.
Oh, he was Shipwreck? Oh, okay, that's great.
He was Shipwreck, dude.
He was the fucking man. If we're lucky, we're going to get him to come on the podcast. So hopefully in a couple more episodes, we might be talking to him.
I could die a happy man.
Oh, God. Yeah. Last one, I'll get off Pensacon after this, was I talked to Colin Cantwell, who is the model designer for the Death Star. So I guess technically you could also blame him for the exhaust ports, but I didn't bring that up when I was talking to him.
Right.
the exhaust dude. Have you guys ever seen, it's like an 8-bit video?
Yeah.
And there's a guy behind the podium and he's the designer of the Death Star, and he's talking about the exhaust ports. And he's basically telling everybody, like, leave me the fuck alone about exhaust ports.
No, he's like, yeah. He's like, oh, what? Everyone's blaming me. I made a planet-sized fucking starship. Do you know how much fucking heat that puts off? I thought it was a pretty goddamn engineering marvel that I could get the exhaust ports down to just the size of a Womp Rat. And it's got a 90-degree turn going into the damn exhaust port. Some fucking kid shot a fucking photon blast that went down and turned 90 degrees and somehow didn't hit a wall for miles as it went down to the core of the Death Star. He's like, how does that happen? Oh yeah, because we live in a world with space wizards. Shit.
That's it. Yeah, that is the best. That is one of the best videos I've ever seen, man. I was dying laughing. That and the fucking robot chicken where the emperor takes a phone call from Vader and he's like, wait a minute, hold on.
Oh, yeah.
It's Vader, hold on, wait a minute. Oh my God, he's crying. He's crying right now. And he keeps talking to him, and he's like, what the hell is an aluminum falcon? it was the funniest shit, man.
Oh, God. So while I'm talking to Colin, the designer of the Death Star, that dude he was real chatty. He's pretty old dude now, so, like, he's, like, sitting in his chair, just kind of kicked back, chilling. And so I just, like, I kneeled down just so I could sit there and talk with him for a while. And then after a bit, I was like, hey, dude. I was like, so what? I was like, the Death Star is awesome. Like, cause he had a little hype man that's over there on the side, like, you know, like drumming it up, like, you know, come and talk to the guy who designed the Death Star and everything.
I just picture you kneeling next to him and you're like, so tell me about the model. The guy just jumps in, hey, did you know he did this? And you're like, hey, shut up, man. Get off me. Get away from me.
He got the exhaust ports down to the size of a Womp Rat, motherfucker. That's hard to do.
I'm trying to talk to the man. You already got my attention. I'm here.
Like, every word that the guy says, he jumps in behind him, and, like, every fifth word, he's like, yeah! Death Star!
Yeah.
Wednesday!
That's right, motherfucker! Better back up!
Exhaust port!
Come on, put your hands up! See, that's what a hype man does for me, is he tells you to put your hands up.
You just talk to a lot of police officers that you think are hype men.
I'm like, he's hyping me up! Put your hands up! Yeah, that's right! Put my hand... Oh, shit, no...
On the ground. Get out.
Get down on the ground. Yeah, that's right. Oh. Get down on the ground.
That's a good move. Yeah, duck it. drop that ass. So anyway, after talking to him and hearing all that and everything, I was like, hey, man, I was like, Death Star's badass. That's amazing you did that. But what's your crowning achievement in your life? And then this motherfucker just tells me a story I had no expectation was about to come out of his mouth. He just starts in where he's like, well, you know, when the first moon landing was happening, which at that point, I was just like, is this model designer about to like reveal that he actually was like in on the moon landing hoax? That he was like, I helped to design the stage for
this. Right. Stanley Kubrick is my best friend.
Yeah. I was like, where the fuck is this going? So he's like, yeah, during the first moon landing, once they were finally on their descent down to the moon, he said, I realized that they were going to go down to a rocky crater area where they would have landed and either exploded when they landed or would never have been able to take off. Either way, wasn't going to work out very well. So I went and told the mission control, you need to divert them over to this spot so that they land safely. And I was like, hold on a second. Are you fucking telling me that you actually were there during the moon landing and you fucking made a call to like save their lives? He's like, yeah. I was like, well, why is your hype man not fucking just saying that?
Why does that not just say it on the back of your fucking table here? I am responsible for the people not dying on the fucking moon, you asshole. Stop and talk to me.
Oh, God.
Oh, man, that's yeah, fucking
that
awesome.
That dude's a fucking badass, dude.
That's awesome. So
yeah, he's amazing.
He's why there's not some skeletons on the moon right now.
Well, what's cool is that that means that when they were making Star Wars, it was kind of cool how far of a length they would go to. They brought a dude in from NASA and they were like, hey man, we want to make this space odyssey. Like, how do we do this right? You know? And they at least tried to take some tips from real dudes. I mean, that's pretty fucking cool, man.
What you got there? Red Bull?
Well, diet Red Bull action.
I'm trying to get healthier. So I'm drinking Red Bull.
It's a diet Red Bull. It's a sugar-free. It's just straight caffeine. Like, I could mainline this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You just don't want that sugar.
Right, right.
I went to the doctor for, it was just a normal checkup. My blood pressure had just skyrocketed, and they were like, oh shit, okay, apparently talking about Cajun food lowers my blood pressure, and so does ranting. So the nurse is there, and she's just taking my blood pressure over and over. And I'm just ranting, and I'm like, you know, what I miss is about the South is just the food, really. As I'm going on about the different types of food and some spicy alligator and whatever else, she keeps taking it over and over. And she's like, okay, all right, you're clear. So I know how to beat the system now.
You're midichlorians, man. You're like a Jedi.
I remember Dwight from The Office when they were talking about blood pressure for some reason. And he's like, I can lower or raise my blood pressure at will. And Pam's like, why would you want to raise your blood pressure?
Let's go ahead and have a little discussion about Annihilation.
So I saw Annihilation, and at the end of the movie, they went, woo! and clapped.
Yeah.
Because that's a normal reaction to the movie Annihilation.
Okay, let me ask you this. What are your feelings about when people clap and cheer in movies?
I mean, as long as it doesn't disrupt me from hearing, I don't have much of a concern about it.
You know, like, I get it. You're excited and you clap. You know, that's cool. Give it like a fuck yeah. Like, I gave it like some kind of woohoo or something. But at the end of the movie, when people clap, there's no one there that's in the movie. They're just clapping at the movie.
Okay. Yeah. At that point, it doesn't really make sense. Unless you had some kind of camaraderie with the rest of the theater. Like, if you're at, like, Alamo yeah. Draft House, it might be cool to...
Yeah.
Everybody kind of cheers and claps. But when you're just going to the Megaplex and you finish watching Star Wars, at the end of it, just get up yeah. and go.
If you're just there by yourself, don't just give it a standing ovation at the end.
Just a slow clap, one guy in the back. I know I'm dragging this on. I'm thinking about it too much, but I kind of put it like me as I don't watch sports. I don't participate in sports. I don't even know what sports are.
I know you're a nerd. Of course.
I'm a nerd, man. So like, I kind of thought clapping at the end of Star Wars is almost like when dudes yell at the TV during football. It's no different. It's kind of the same for me or nerds in general that love movies like that. That's just our way of celebrating.
Except for nobody would ever invite you over to their
Super Bowl party
the whole time that they're getting into it and cheering. You're just like, guys, what the fuck, man? They can't hear you on the TV.
Right. I'm like, sit down and calm the fuck down. Jesus.
I'm just thinking of eight dudes They've got some dip. They've got some beers. And 3 hours of Super Bowl, they just stare.
Completely quiet.
Somebody's phone rings, and everybody looks at that one person.
He's like, very slowly, puts it on silent.
He gets up, hangs his head.
One of those commercials comes on before the game. It's like, don't ruin the game with your cell phone.
No, I'm thinking one of the funny Super Bowl commercials comes on, and one of the dudes just starts chuckling, and everybody just looks at him again. And he's like, oh.
God damn it, Bill.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll leave.
I'm sorry. Annihilation was good.
Annihilation was pretty good. It's creepy as fuck.
So I say this a lot because, like, I'll watch a really good movie, and then for the next, like, 2 weeks, I'm like, that was the best movie I've seen in 5 years. But I'm going to say it again. That was the best movie I've seen in years, man. Like, I watched it twice, and it was just as good the second time. The bear scene where the bear comes in and it's, you know, doing all the crazy voices, man, like, it gave me chills. That was fucking brilliant, man. It's just thinking about it now still gets me.
Whoa.
What? Did I say that out loud?
I'm sure Chris will edit that out.
No, I'm kind of with you, man. The beginning, the whole lead up is just really intriguing. They've got the shimmer, and you don't know what the fuck is going on. And, like, it's so, like, she's kind of going through her own personal drama. And, I mean, it's a lot of mysteries. And then, like, it starts to compound on itself, and the whole thing becomes really intriguing, like, trying to figure out what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. It sucks you in. I mean, it's a pretty typical sci-fi movie. You got a little bit of backstory on her. You're kind of intrigued about it. Then they got this bubble thing. You're intrigued about it. And you're like, yeah, I want to keep watching it. But when they go into the bubble and that first day they wake up and then she's like, do you remember getting here? And they're like, we don't remember the last 3 days. That is when it got me. I was like, oh, fuck yeah, that's awesome. Like, that's really when it got me to come into the movie was right then, you know?
There was a lot of creepiness to the movie, definitely the bear. But also, everything leading up to getting into the shimmer. So, for one thing, it looked like half the characters were, like, on antidepressants. Like, there's definitely not a lot of laughing, not a lot of giggling. I really liked how it's a sci-fi horror, but there's not an evil entity. Annihilation is just a weird phenomenon that does this stuff, and it's just doing its thing. So at one point, it's like beautiful, and then the next point, you're still like, this is fucked up. It's horrifying. Guys, I'm getting scared. There are a lot of characters in the Marvel Universe, and some are bound to be shitty. This is especially true in the case of the X-Men. Today I would like to talk about Sam Guthrie, a.k.a. Cannonball. One funny thing is how Cannonball looks like he's blasting turbo rockets out of his ass. It all starts with the shits.
Yeah, well, that's the only way it can start, Logan. That's the only way it can start. That's why he turns into Cannonball. He shits himself, and his shit is so volatile that when he lights it on fire, he blows himself up. Hey, are you drinking Jägermeister?
What?
I just thought I saw Jägermeister. I don't know if you know this, but Cannonball gets his powers from Jägermeister. He's just drunk with the squirts real bad, or like he has a really bad Jägermeister hangover the next day, and he's got the shit so bad it turns him into a rocket.
I've been having some stomach issues for a couple of days. I am Cannonball at this point.
Your mutant powers have evolved. Fucking awesome.
Yeah. So you can raise and lower your blood pressure at will by talking about Cajun food, and you can shoot fucking shit out of your ass so hard it turns you into Cannonball, man. You are becoming a pretty formidable foe.
I think you guys are onto it. Cannonball's power is not just that fire just erupts around him and then he manages to use it to propel himself. He has to, like, explosively shit himself, and then he has the power to ignite his shit from there. But the goggles are important because you don't want shit getting in your eyes. That's how you get pink eye.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's true.
That makes sense.
They're like, hey, Cannonball, where'd you get those cool goggles? And he's like, what goggles? What are you talking about? I'm not wearing goggles. You're wearing goggles. Fuck you. Most of the time, he's lit on fire accidentally. He doesn't do it on purpose. He doesn't really propel himself. He just climbs up to the tallest tree, lights himself on fire, and jumps out of the tree. So he looks like a cannonball, but he's really just a flaming drunk falling on top of people.
A particularly shitty X-Men.
Or a.k.a. the shittiest drunk on the X-Men team. Literally. Yeah, and his shit, he drinks so hard. Like, he drinks so much, like, Bacardi 151. That his shit is so volatile. His shit catches on fire. And that's exactly what happens. I mean, he just like, watch this, guys. I see Magneto over there. Watch this. I'm going to poop myself and set on fire, and then I'm going to run into him real fast. And then he just lights his ass on fire and runs into him.
God, that's just a mailbox cannonball. God damn it. Okay. Shit.
Fucking cannonball.
He gets back to X-Force base, and Cable's like, okay, Cannonball, you got to eat something, bro. All you're doing is drinking Jaeger in 151. And at least
you got to eat something. I don't have to eat. You eat a dick. I don't care.
You can eat a dick, Cable. Cable. What kind of a name is Cable anyway? Fucking Cable.
You got a problem. You used to leave solid shits around, Cannonball, but these days it's just all just look. The base is a mess. You could just fly away from it and we clean it up. And then you come back. I'm sorry, guys.
Guys, it's just my power.
I can't help it.
Every time fucking Nightcrawler teleports, it smells like ass. It's fucking bullshit, too.
Nightcrawler really doesn't teleport. He just eats a lot of bad, like, Mexican food and hard-boiled eggs. And he farts, and it's so bad, people turn away, and they're like, oh, Jesus Christ, what was that? And he's like, ha-ha, look at me. I teleported to this side of the room. Ha-ha.
Could you teleport out of the room and turn a fan on?
Can you teleport to the bathroom, you stinky fuck?
Cannonball, you've been drinking beer all day. That doesn't...
Okay, watch this. I can blow myself up with beer shits, too. Watch this.
Ah, goddamn! All I did was shit myself.
Ah, fuck, I'm on fire! Damn it, Iceman, please go put Cannonball out again. God, this is the third time today you've tried to get him to catch himself on fire. He's only been drinking beer.
The beer shits are the worst. The flaming beer shits.
The flaming beer shits.
Hey, Professor X, so could you, like, get in Nightcrawler's head and kind of fix that part of it that makes it smell so bad? And he's like, well, I kind of like it. It's that aroma. Also, Australian Professor X here. And,
all right, Nightcrawler and, I don't know what accent that is, but I'm going to go with it. Nightcrawler and Cannonball, we're going to get you guys over here. You're going to go on a mission with each other for like 3 months, okay? You're going to go to Australia and you're going to fight Magneto. Now get out of here. Take the X-Jet.
And here's a bottle of Febreze. You're going to need it.
Please clean up the X-Jet when you get back.
They get back and they've learned a very valuable lesson. And on the way, a friendship was the greatest gift of all.
Their smells drove them away from people. But it
brought them together.
Yeah.
A love only two can find this summer. The blockbuster from Marvel.
Hey guys, I just got back from New Mutants. That was kind of weird.
Yeah, the New Mutants movie was not what I expected.
I don't know how they got both Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. That's weird, because that script is stinky.
They become the two most powerful mutants in the world because no one will fight them. Like, everybody runs away, and they're like, holy shit, we're the most powerful mutants in Earth. This is great.
Magneto's like, God damn it, guys. Stop following me. He goes, flies away with his magnet shit. And they're like, after him.
He's like, that's right. You better fucking leave. You better leave, Magneto. I'm gonna shit all over you. People, let me tell you about my best friend.
Professor X is just like, I have a new X-Man, exceptional. He can blow up and kill everybody once. Why the fuck are you sending him out with us? Don't fucking ask questions.
Exceptional. I hate that motherfucker.
Wait. Exceptional. Okay, so his name is Exceptional. The other guy, who was the guy that's like the douchey X Games dude? Who's like, he's a super rollerblader and an X Games guy.
You're talking about Adam X the Extreme.
The Extreme, yeah. So he's Adam X the Extreme, and this is Exceptional.
Fucking Bailey Hoskins, who they should have given him a shitty name because, I mean, Exceptional shitty?
Well, they kind of did. If your name is Exceptional, that normally means... We know what that means.
We know what it really means. It's just like the school for the gifted.
It's a bunch of people who think they have powers.
So at that point, they're fucking with him. If they gave him a shitty name like Blasto, that'd be all right because he's shitty and everyone knows he sucks. But instead, they're like, guess what? We're going to code name him Exceptional. And every time right, anyone exactly. says his code exactly. name, they're like, oh, that motherfucker.
That fucking guy. Seriously, again? Like, we all know that he's Professor X's nephew, and he's just letting him in, you know, like, because he has to.
Yeah. I don't even think he really has powers. I mean, he's got a power that he's never used.
Listen. Listen, guys. Listen. He can blow up once, okay? You got to take him out with you. There's a big fight coming up. Just leave him there and make him blow up. I need to get rid of him now.
No, I'm thinking people in the mansion are like, hey, Professor, where's Blue Team? Don't worry about that. Where's Gold Team? Don't worry about that either. It kind of looks like we all suck, too. Why are you sending us out with Mr. Blow You Up?
Look, guys, just take him with you. He didn't really blow up on the last mission. I really need you guys to take him out.
Here, he just needs his special mission equipment, this backpack. Don't mind the ticking and no one look inside it.
Don't look inside it. Now, listen. There's been some budget cuts around the mansion. So we're going to bring Exceptional with you this time.
So to nerd it up for a second, the person that introduced me to Exceptional told me something the other day that I didn't know about him, which is if he blows up and he happens to survive, he still can't blow up again. Like, it's not that blowing up kills him. It's that he can do it once. So if he just raises a finger and goes... and his finger blows off, then that's it. He's done. So it's not even as bad as he suicide blows himself up. He can possibly do a really shitty blow up, and then that's it.
He doesn't know the magnitude of his explosion. So the whole time he could either be like a devastating House of M mutant that blows everybody up and the world. Or he could literally just have like a little popcorn fart that comes out of his finger. And he's like, oh, that's it, guys.
We were talking about ways to possibly make him not suck. And he was like, what about Mr. Sinister? Like, Mr. Sinister does some DNA stuff to him. And we quickly come to the conclusion that, like, no, Mr. Sinister's just going to clone him and make a whole bunch of blow-up dudes.
Make a clone army?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And then he's just going to be, like, in a tube with, like, the mask on and the gel or whatever. And that's where he's going to stay for the rest of his life while Mr. Sinister clones him.
You see a bomber fly over the mansion, and you just see a green tube with a mutant in it falling from the sky. And he just drops it on the mansion and blows it up. He just turns them into, like, atomic bombs.
That would make him kind of cool.
To me, it's just funny that he's never used the power before. I mean, I know Beast apparently did some tests on him and can... tell he's got the gene, and somehow that can also tell you what fucking power. Like, that was that's just ridiculous. But that was their premise. I think Beast is just bullshitting. I think Beast and Professor X just have like a little thing where they're like, let's get rid of all the fucking other douchebags around here and send them out on a mission.
Right?
We're just gonna put a bomb on the fucking plane and send them away. But we need plausible deniability. So we'll fucking say that we have right. an X-Men on the team who blows up and kills everybody.
So, in today's news, the X plane blew up. No one knows what happened, but there's talks that an X-Men was on it that can blow up one time. Let's cut to Professor X. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. Exceptional was on the plane. Apparently he blew up. They all died. Professor X, that's the third plane that's blown up this weekend. Budget cuts at the mansion. I don't know what's happening. I don't know. Please talk to my press guy.
Professor, it's awful convenient. That you have this guy that can blow up one time.
I don't know what the fuck happened. Cannonball and Nightcrawler weren't even on the goddamn plane. I've got to go.
I gotta get out of here. God damn it. They're the only two we have left at this point, okay? The only X-Men left are Cannonball and fucking Nightcrawler, and we all hate them. Damn it. It's fucking terrible.
And the mansion smells like shit.
The mansion sucks. You've got Bacardi bottles all everywhere that are empty.
Cannonball, you have a problem. You've been drinking far too much. Well, I got a drink to make my ass blow up.
Oh.
You've been fucking drinking too much. You could drink a dick. I don't give a fuck.
You drink a dick. Fuck you. You can go drink a dick. His tagline right before he hits you is like, drink a dick. He fucking lays on you. You can drink a dick. Pow.
Drink a dick.
That's the best tagline of any superhero ever. Drink a dick. For today's Killing Batman, we're going to take a trip back to 1983, where the world cried out for a trucking-based comic book hero, and Marvel answered that call. We're going to talk about Ulysses Solomon Archer. His superhero name was US-1. He is a trucker who fights crime, and he had a solid 12-issue run, which is roughly 11 more than we needed.
Yeah.
He has abilities. He's a college-level engineer, right? So he went to college. He's a skilled driver. That's on the resume there. So he's won several road races. He's beaten various villains in road fights. And he even outraced a blimp, if you can imagine. He's a proficient fighter. He's able to go toe-to-toe with people much stronger and larger than himself and win.
Just for reasons.
Just for reasons. And here's the best part. With his metal-plated skull, after a crash, most of Archer's cranium was replaced with a highly durable metal to protect his brain. The said plate can now be used to give lethal headbutts, tune in to CB radio transmissions, and he can change the channels by touching the fillings in his mouth with his teeth.
Everything you'd ever want. That's all you could ask for in life.
Right?
You said this character was created in 1983.
Yeah, 1983, when obviously there was a need for trucker comics.
Right along with Skate Man Day.
Right. They're like, we need our goddamn comics. Nobody gives us any love. Nobody recognizes the work we do as truckers out here. We need ourselves a goddamn hero. And then in comes US-1.
Mother trucking US-1. This is back in Jim's heyday, man.
Yeah, they definitely brought Jim in on this one. The best part about this, though, his weaknesses are he's susceptible to magnets and electronic scrambling devices.
Hey, hold on, I'm about to make a... Oh, shit, I'm too close to a fridge. This fucking magnet's killing me. Go, goddamn. Oh, hold on.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
US-1 is the uncle from National Lampoon's Vegas Vacation, where he's like, hey there, Clark, got a metal plate in my head. It works pretty good, but every time my wife turns on the microwave, I piss myself and forget who I am for 10 minutes. But it's okay otherwise. Oh, God damn it.
I also love part of it. You didn't actually say it verbatim. I like what they say that he uses to help solve crimes and take down bad guys. He uses his, quote, college skills.
Yeah.
You a smart man, aren't you? You're a quick thinker.
That's it. Look here, bad guy. Look here. I got me a college education, all right? And you can't fucking, you can't do this bad stuff anymore because you know what? I am college educated. Here's one of the best parts about him too, though. His special equipment is a silver dollar remote. It's literally a remote hidden inside a silver dollar that allows him to remotely control his truck. And secondly, his next equipment is gum. After an encounter with the villain Midnight, he claims to always carry a stick of gum since the metal foil allowed him to be free of her hypno whip. Apparently she had a hypno whip. By making it touch his feelings and blasting his mind with massive amounts of CB feedback. So his special weapon is a piece of gum that when it touches his feelings, it fucks him all up and he can't hear anything.
I can just see Jim when he's sitting around like pitching this guy. He just sounds like someone who's got this obsession with like the CIA spying on him. He's like, dude,
Fucking CIA, man. They're listening to us right now. Everyone put on your fucking foil hats and chew on this gum. Don't take it out of the wrapper. Seriously.
They can't get you, man.
Otherwise, they're listening.
I mean, Jim really got brought in this guy. They're sitting around a table and they're like, all right, guys, the trucking industry is like really on our asses about, you know, partnering together on some kind of trucking fucking comic book here. Jim's like, okay, his powers are, he almost dies and gets a metal plate in his head, and then he can hear CB radio transmissions.
Jim's like pitching this idea, like there's a representative from the trucker organization at Marvel headquarters. He's like, the fuck you say? Got a metal plate in his goddamn head? Chews a stick of gum? What the? You're making fun of me? And I'm like, well, get this. College educated.
Oh, he's smart.
Oh.
All right, well, does his powers of deduction help him fight the crime, or he just kind of drives a truck around and hears CB radio transmissions?
Hey, guys, get this. Don't worry. Aliens. Aliens are going to fucking come down and talk to him, man. Hey, truckers, you're so fucking badass. We need truckers in space. Mother trucking space truckers is what we want.
You ever seen that movie, The Last Starfighter? Imagine that, but like truckers, all right? That sounds about like what we do. I mean, okay, I guess. They just ripped off The Last Starfighter. What's funny is part of his story is him and his brother are in an accident with his parents, and his parents die. And they're taken in by an adopted family, and the guy's name is Papa Wheelie.
God-given name. That's on his birth certificate.
The mom that, you know, takes him in, his surrogate mother, is Wide Load Annie. So it's like, already, come on. Come on.
This is going to be a serious comic.
Oh, God, yeah. So what happened was, a group of aliens came to Earth seeking to recruit truck drivers to become starship pilots. It's literally The Last Starfighter, but for truck drivers. So get this, they wanted to recruit US-1, but because they thought all humans looked alike, they got the wrong guy. So they basically took his brother thinking it was him, and then realized they made a mistake and came back for him, but they fucked up.
They didn't just make a mistake, though. They're like horribly racist aliens that can't tell the difference between any human.
Horribly racist. They're like, all humans look alike. And then they realize they're fuck up. So they've already given his brother these amazing powers, like a badass truck. And then they're like, oh, shit, we got the wrong guy. All right, well, my bad. Go get the right guy.
The aliens are like, oh, we got to cover it up. Hold on.
These aliens suck.
Well, they're trucker aliens. I mean, they sound kind of cool to me. I mean, racism sucks, but these aliens kind of sound all right. I'd have a beer with one of these aliens.
I was just thinking about how dumb it fucking is that aliens want to come to Earth for anything.
Right.
We're nowhere fucking close to being able to travel intergalactically. And so that these aliens are fucking coming to us somehow with all their power and technology to try to get a trucker on Earth.
Yeah.
But now that I'm kind of thinking about it a little bit more, and I see how much these guys are just like a bunch of fucking dingbats giving superpowers out to just Joe Schmo under the bridge and being like, that's him. That's the guy we were looking for. That homeless dude? That's him, man. I swear to God, that's the one. That's him. The one who's chewing on his toes. Get him.
I did really try to think objectively about this, and I was like, okay. A trucker sits for long distances. I guess piloting a starship, you have to travel for long distances. Okay, I get it. Truckers have to navigate roads and maps. I guess you can navigate a star chart or something.
Sure.
I'm really trying to stretch here and be like, why would they need a trucker? And then at the end of that, I'm just like, no, they don't fucking know.
Fuck you guys. I'm not falling for this one.
Another part that just got me was awesome. Baron Von Blimp, he challenged US-1 to a race. The object of the race was to deliver chickens for the great chicken colonel, and despite Blimp's cheating, US-1 easily won.
Okay, so this is straight out of Wacky Races.
That's it.
Baron Von Blimp, that's just like Snidely Whiplash. And he's got like springs on his truck, and it bounces it in the air, and Ulysses is like, I'm the best. I got you, bitch.
Oh, God. You should look at the pictures of the inside of his fucking big rig.
Well, actually, in one of the things online, it says, with his own semi-genius know-how and Ed and Annie's help, he stocks it with all lethal gizmos that you can imagine. So much so that even Batman would peek in the cab, whistle, and shake his head admiringly.
Oh, this is all starting to come together.
It is. It is.
It's going to start luring Batman in. You're like, hey, come over here and check out my shit.
Hey, Batman. Check it out, Batman. I got a... I got me a cool big rig over here. You want to come check it out?
Oh, yeah. I want to see what you got in there. That sounds really cool.
He's like, I got a car. I got a car, too. Let's see what you got.
Hey, if you show me yours, I'll show you mine.
And he lures Batman into the cab of his truck, like a trucker trying to lure in a kid.
Hey, come over here and look at some gizmos.
He's like, hey, man, check out this sweet sleeper sofa bed I got in here, man. This is some good shit right here.
Alfred's like, Batman, be very careful. This could be trouble. And he's like,
hey. As long as he doesn't have a metal plate in his head, then I'm prepared for this. Provided no metal plates. Maybe gum. Gum would be bad. Don't worry, Alfred. I can always headbutt a criminal into submission if I have to. I've got this guy under control.
I was just going to say. Alfred's like, Batman, I've heard some pretty nasty things about him. He has a lethal headbutt.
Don't worry, Alfred. I'm wearing a face mask.
But your mouth, Batman.
It's okay. He'll never hit my teeth. It's okay. I'm a ninja. I'm a fucking fighting ninja.
Okay, Batman. Well, I guess if you really want to go check his truck out that bad.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool truck.
Your Alfred and Joker are the same guy.
Yeah, they're the same dude. You didn't know that? In my Killing Batman world, the Joker is Alfred, dude. I mean, think about it. That's the ultimate, right? What if Alfred was the Joker? Like, how fucked up would that be? Like, that would be so much harder, like deeper on a psychological level. Alfred ends up being the Joker and he like slits his throat in his sleep. And that's the end of the book.
That's
like, that would be fucking awesome.
Dude, write DC now. We need this.
Yeah, man. I want it now.
It would piss so many people off.
But Carl and Bill,
the heads of the Alfred fan club,
those guys are going to love this shit.
I like to think about this summer, a huge DC Batman event is coming. People are like, oh, cool. What is it? And then summer comes around and like hardcore Batman fans are like, God damn it. What the fuck? Fuck this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The very first page of the first comic. The first bar says, it's funny how you never see the Joker and Alfred in the same place. And the person reading it's like, shit, fuck. They throw it down. They don't even bother reading the rest.
God damn it.
You're like, I'm done. I love Batman. This fucking sucks. Everyone's like, fuck you.
Look, hold on. All right, so I got to get US back in here. I was trying to imagine how we would lure Batman in. And I could just see him like out on the fucking road. You know, Batman's... He's monitoring all this fucking frequencies and signals and shit. So U.S. knows. He's like, I can lure Batman in. He'll be listening. He's like, hello out there. This old US-1 barreling down the big road in his big truck. And I'm about to be heading down to the old Pickle Park on 85th Street, right outside old Gotham. I was hoping that U.S. could meet up a good buddy that wouldn't mind putting the hammer down on my back door for a minute or two, if you know what I mean. So give old U.S. a holler.
Putting the hammer down in the old back door.
That's an impressive trucker talk there.
I just hear Batman being like,
Roger there, good buddy. This is old Gotham trucker heading your way to apply some motor lotion to your old pogo stick. So I can smoothly hook up to your wagon down at their old restory.
And then, like, I just see Batman fucking, like, pulling up in the bat truck. It's just fucking an 18-wheeler with, like, all batted out. And, like, he's just, like, getting out all casual. Like, no one knows it's him. Trying to be all smooth and suave. Yeah. Like, no one's paying attention.
Right? He just, like, happenstance beside him at the truck stop, like, hey!
And then I just see him wearing the bat suit, but he just has like a trucker hat and bill in his towel.
Yep, it's the trucker suit.
And he's just like walking by, waving at truck, just like, hey, you know, old trucker, going in to use the pisser.
Right.
Gotta go pay the water bill. Here we go.
Yep, gotta go drain the main vein over here. hope no one's in there.
And then he just goes in for a little bit of rest stop sex with U.S.
Rest stop sex.
Smoke.
I don't know why that's so funny.
And I don't even imagine that U.S. actually even kills him. Batman just fucking slips in the shower and hits his mouth on one of the faucets and sits there and bleeds out in the shower.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, that's awesome. Your trucker talk was spot on there, man.
Yeah, that was quite impressive.
That was fucking awesome.
I might have some trucking history in my past that I don't let you guys know about.
No shit. Jesus Christ. Holy shit. It's kind of funny. I read on his the commentary about him. He's like, what a marvelous healthcare fantasy land the 80s were, with a random trucker getting their heads chopped off and then space age craniums being bottled to their head.
Yeah, someone was like, hey, we need some new superheroes around here with new powers. Someone was like, telepathy. How about telepathy? No, we've done telepathy, man. What if we just limited it to CB radius?
Continue. I'm listening.
Can you put him in a truck and maybe send him out into space?
I like it.
So his weakness is he's got the CB radio powers in his mind. And there's apparently a bad girl with a whip that's a hypno whip. And for some reason, he's susceptible to hypnosis because he has the metal plate in his head. So his only defense against that is to put a piece of foil in his mouth and chew on it, which we all know sucks if you got fillings. But it's not even really helpful because all it does is put him in excruciating pain because it makes his mind, like, scrambled. They're on the battlefield and he's like, you better stop over there, hypno whip woman. Or I'm going to fucking come over there and niner your face with my fucking asshole. She's like, I've got my hypno whip. He's like, my kryptonite. The only thing I'm susceptible to is your hypnosis. Let me put this in my mouth and chew on it for a minute. Holy fuck! My head is on fire!
Kill me! Kill me now! Life is over! Nothing means anything anymore!
Just fucking kill me! But wait, it's working! I'm not under your hypnosis control anymore, but God, I want to die!
While they're fighting, he's constantly screaming.
Set me on fire and kill me now!
Run me over with my truck! And he's just rolling around on the ground, screaming. She's like, well, I don't really want to fight you anymore.
This is not what I came here for.
She's like, I just wanted to know where you were taking this to. I thought I could get it out of you.
This is horrible.
Right, this is terrible.
This isn't fun.
She's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you had to go through this to fight me. I'm just going to go.
You know, I was thinking of the first way we were talking about U.S. killing Batman. Luring him into the truck. Batman's approaching it, the door's open to the cab, and Alfred's like, Mr. Wayne, be careful. I'm picking up some weird signals. You might want to watch it.
Calm down, Alfred. I've got this.
Right, again, he's like, as long as he doesn't have a metal plate. I'm prepared. I'm fucking prepared. But what happens is that he gets distracted by all, like, the penthouse rip-out pictures that are all over the cab.
The naked titties everywhere.
Oh, look at the set on that girl. Oh, my God. Oh, these girls are nice, U.S.
Alfred says, be careful, Mr. Wayne. And he's about to go back to the bat truck or whatever bat vehicle he's got there. He's about to go back. He's about to be careful. But then he sees the penthouse pin-up of the week next to the sleeper. He's like, huh? And he starts getting hypnotized, and he starts looking around. There's these nasty, fucking, rude trucker nudie bags.
We're talking like trailer park titties.
He turns and looks at the golden showers pick, and he's like, huh? And then U.S. just flies out of the sleeper and bam, headbutts him. Batman's like, oh shit. Metal plate. Alfred, he's got a metal plate.
God damn it.
Call back up. I totally didn't see this coming. He hit me in the teeth. Oh, my fucking mouth. Was it exposed?
Oh, god damn it. Why do I not fix this goddamn cowl?
He must have a college education to have snuck up on me like that.
God damn it. My one weakness.
Fuck you, U.S. and your college skills. Oh, that's a deadly headbutt. Fuck, you must have learned that at a college.
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. I'm fucking hit.
That's awesome. This cab is really nice. You've got a lovely array of pinups and pullouts from my favorite magazines across time. This is pretty nice. Oh, fuck, a headbutt.
I thought we were gonna make sweet love in this cabin. That's not cool.
It's not cool, man. That's not cool at all.
Are you going in the cabin, Mr. Wayne?
He's got a bunch of gizmos and shit. You know how much I like gizmos. You know how I am for gizmo porn. I've got to go see this shit, Alfred. I want to see his wonderful toys. And I don't just mean his gizmos, if you know what I'm talking about. Oh, shit, headbutt. Metal plate. Fuck.
You know, it was kind of funny, too. The US-1 name comes from the famous US Highway 1, But I'm curious, did they replace the metal part of his skull with that sign? Because that would be even better. No, we just took a fucking street sign from the highway and fashioned it into a skull thing, because all the pictures show him.
So it's actually not even doctors who give him a head plate. It's just some other truckers that just, like, pull the fucking sign down when they see his truck down a ravine. And
right.
Some guys just find him, and they're like, oh, shit, we need something to plate his head up. Get that sign. And they just fucking, like, wrap it all around his head and, like, hammer it into place.
Right.
No, I got it. Fucking Avengers Infinity War, right? You watch the movie. Okay, the credits roll. And you got your end credit thing, all right? And then there's some more credits, and then there's, like, the second end credit, right? And then some more credits roll. This keeps happening, but eventually it goes black, and then all of a sudden you see two lights. They're coming at you. Oh, it's an 18-wheeler. Oh, shit, a deer. And he swerves and crashes, and there's a man lying on the ground. He's unconscious, and then the camera zooms in, and, you know, part of his scalp has come off. You know, pretty gross for a Marvel movie, but... And then it zooms in a little more, and you see the U.S. Highway 1 sign. And people, the one person in the audience is like, oh shit, U.S. 1!
Woo!
That's Ulysses Grant!
Holy shit!
Not Ulysses.
They did it! They just did U.S. 1! Holy fuck!
He's going to join the god dang Infinity War!
Oh, God.
With a hot fucking buttery damn! The funny thing, I thought, like, it's all serious, right? Like, picture the scene, the truck wrecks. Guy falls out the window, but another trucker pulls up and he's like, oh, shit, man. Buddy, you okay? I got to help you. Hey, buddy. He's like, oh, man, you got a hole in your skull. Oh, you see him rip down the sign from the side of the road. Then the next scene is US-1, like, driving his truck. But instead of just having a metal plate, like, it's just a big bent up metal sign all around his head. It's like just kind of sitting there. He still has the hole in his head. He just has a sign, like, fashioned on his head like an old helmet. And he's like, I'm US-1. I'm going to get you now. Like, he's totally gone.
He's getting woozy. He's just getting, like, swerving around in the cabin. Just passes that over the wheel.
He just pulls up to random truck stops, walks in, and starts headbutting people with this oddly fashioned US-1 helmet. They're like, hi, sir. Welcome to the truck stop. What can I make you some food? He's all bing. Just fucking starts headbutting them.
Oh, fuck it. It's US-1. He's going to headbutt everybody. Oh, God. We didn't even get into how his fucking brother Jefferson played up the whole thing. Like, he didn't want people to know where the powers came from, so he just pretended like the devil gave him the powers. And that's how he got his special truck and whatever powers he fucking had.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he pulls up in, like, a super technologically advanced semi-truck, and he's like, demons, man. I got in a wreck one day, and some fucking demons came to me and were like, hey, man, I'll give you this sweet fucking truck. There's some sweet wheels over here. You want them? And I was like, yeah, well, I fucking want them. And my brother definitely doesn't deserve them. It's really, no, these are mine, not my brother's. Let's talk about that. So yeah, let's go ahead and do this thing, aliens. I mean, demons.
Oh, God. I could just see him going down to the fucking crossroads where...
Robert Johnson?
Yeah, where Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil, and he's like, I just went to the fucking crossroads. I fucking sold my soul to get this sweet-ass truck.
He's like, I went down there to the middle of crossroads at 59th Avenue and Cactus, and there was a dude sitting there, and he was like, hey, I'll give you a sweet truck. You want a sweet truck? I'm like, yeah, give me that sweet fucking truck.
I wish that people could see your face while you're talking like that, dude. That's the best part.
I can't do the voice until I make the dumb face, too.
You're sticking your front teeth out, and you're, like, pulling your chin down and just kind of looking around awkwardly, and it's looking great.
Well, that was US-1, and he's killed Batman while Batman is is getting banged in the truck stop stall.
Oh, God.
Or while checking out his sweet Golden Showers truck porn. By sexual headbutt.
Episode 3 will be a goddamn mess. It'll be the craziest one.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for listening to Because Nerd. If you liked it, make sure to subscribe, share, rate, or comment. And check out becausenerd.com for even more cool shit. And if the spirit has truly moved you, you can pledge your support directly to us on Patreon. Because Nerd is a production of Scriptic Media.